Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
What a great morning. Thank you, those of you that responded to the urging of the Holy Spirit and just finding a place of prayer during worship. Wasn't that wonderful? Just a special presence of the Lord. He is so merciful and so gracious as He places His presence upon us. None of us deserve His presence, but He offers that presence. And once you've experienced the presence of the Lord, there's just no going back. There's no one who can compare to Him and to being in His presence. Amen. Well, here we go. We continue on with our three sermon series of Christmas, and we're looking at three gifts, right? Three gifts. Some of us might say, only three gifts? Three exemplary gifts that are brought by the wise men on or about December the 25th, during the Festival of Lights or Festival of Hanukkah, or Hanukkah, as we might say in Texas, or Hanukkah. We get confused because sometimes it's spelled C-H and sometimes it's spelled H. And the reason is whether it's anglicized or left in the Hebrew transliteration, and it's Hanukkah. But some of us have a problem with that guttural sound, and so it's okay if you say Hanukkah, or some of us say Hanukkah. It was a new feast relative to the days of recent feast within the last couple hundred years before Jesus came on the scene, as there was a miraculous provision of oil so that the light in the temple might remain lit. It was a powerful, miraculous sign from the Lord. And so they were, during that time, the wise men came to Jerusalem, and Jesus would have been a child, not an infant baby. Some of us have real heartburn trying to reconcile the accounts of Luke and Matthew. And if you force it all within the period of just a couple days, it will give you heartburn. But if you'll stretch it out into about 2.5 years, then it all fits into place and makes sense. And so we're looking at three gifts, and in the context of not three wise men, but a whole consortium, a whole gaggle, a whole herd, a whole flock, a whole group of wise men. And what's significant is that they gave three gifts. Now, the last week we talked about gold, and that's something that we can offer to Him. And the very most obvious thing we can do is place our faith in Him. And we want to continue on as we look at Matthew chapter 2, verse number 11. It says, "And when they came into the house," they being the wise men, "they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him." We've been experiencing that this morning already, haven't we? "And opening their treasure boxes, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." So this morning I want to turn our attention to the idea of frankincense. Frankincense. We've sung it in a song and we've wondered about that. We're not a culture. We're a culture that understands perfumes. We're a culture that understands essential oils. We're a culture that that understands deodorant. We are a culture that understands burning scented candles. And so when we move into this area of frankincense, we're getting into that area of something that affects the smell, can affect the taste, and something which gets into the atmosphere and creates a new atmosphere within a home or within a place. The atmospherics. And this is something that we experience often here, and we were experiencing this morning, was a sense that the atmosphere was changed and charged with the presence of the Holy Spirit in a unique way or a different way, and one that calls us to response. This lets me know that I'm right on the trail of what the Holy Spirit was talking to me about a couple weeks ago as I prepared my heart towards this season and for preaching. So why does the Bible feature this noble incense from Exodus to Revelation? That very name, frankincense, that Frank is a adjective, and it speaks one of the highest order. Frankincense, the highest order, it actually derives out of the French, and it means, and we get it into our English, we just call it frankincense, but it means an incense of the highest order, the very finest, the very best. So why does the Bible feature this noble or best incense from Exodus to Revelation? I told you last week that gold is mentioned in Genesis through Revelation, and it's in Exodus through Revelation that frankincense is mentioned. Why? Because it is in the book of Exodus that we are introduced to the idea of a priesthood. I'm just going to give you a hint right there and move on. Why did these magi bring it as one of their gifts? I wonder if maybe there's a hint in the very nature of the gift as to why they brought it. In Isaiah chapter 60, verse number 6, if we're careful, we don't realize that this happened in the context of biblical prophecy. There was something that had been foretold, something that had been spoken of before. And in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 6, it says, a multitude of camels will cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all those from Sheba will come, and they will bring gold and frankincense, and will bear good news of the praises of the Lord. It's not happening in a vacuum. It's happening against the backdrop and the background of prophecy. So here comes that question again, and we're going to try to answer this by the end of the message. In what way can I bring this gift to the Christ of God? In what way can I bring the gift of frankincense to the Christ of God? The wise men brought gold and now frankincense. How can I bring gold? We answered that question last week. How can I bring this gift to the Christ of God? And I made reference last week, but that's something that's kind of been ringing in my head, especially since Pastor Steve led it on Wednesday. How will I bring a gift to this Christ the King? Is asked of the drummer boy. He asks of it himself, and so he decides to play for him. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. Right? I am a poor boy too. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. So it's an idea that even the most poor and destitute actually have a gift. Sometimes we excuse ourselves from this and say, these were wealthy men, these were wise men. And when you say wealthy and wise, that leaves me out. No, no. Let's look beyond that and realize that they had the wisdom to at least come when no one else was coming to bow before this newborn king. The leadership of Israel certainly wasn't. They came and had the sense to bow before him and offer to him these gifts because they knew who he was. And they wanted to make connection to this newborn king of Israel. In what way can I bring this gift to the Christ of God? Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because during the rest of this time, we're going to serve up to you some understanding so that we can connect with giving this gift of frankincense. You might want to turn to your neighbor and say, I have some incense to bring. Now, frankincense was an important part of the ministry of the priest within the temple. We pick it up in Exodus, take it all the way through Revelation, and in most contexts, you will hear the word frankincense or incense mentioned in relationship to the temple of God or the temple that is in heaven. It's the ministry of the priest. Frankincense is mentioned 17 times in Scripture, mostly in connection with the function of the temple. There are some exceptions in the Song of Solomon. Frankincense is mixed into the anointing oil of the temple. It is burned on the altar of incense in the holy place, and it's sprinkled on the showbread. Those of you that have been with me on Tuesday nights, we worked through Genesis, Exodus, and into Leviticus, and we talked about the holy place, that place where only a descendant of Aaron, the Kohathite family, could go. And having been selected as the great high priest, he could go in, and those of his family, they had a daily ritual where they went in the morning and went in the evening and got to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, there was a time when only one person was able to experience that, or a group of priests. But what a tremendous gift we have been given, in that every one of us, regardless of where we live on the earth or whether we're male or female, rich or poor, mighty or weak, we get to enjoy the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that powerful? Give the Lord a hand clap of praise and thanksgiving for that. We find that frankincense was in the anointing oil. It was burned on the altar of incense and was sprinkled on the showbread. The very finest incense was used for that. It was involved in the ministry of the priest. And here's one thing that the priest did. They anointed other priests and they anointed kings. It was that anointing oil that was dripped upon David. It was that kind of anointing oil that had before him been dripped upon Saul, or had been poured upon him, coming down upon his beard and upon his clothes, saturated upon him. It was that kind of anointing that was laid upon Elisha from Elijah. It was that kind of anointing that was laid from Elisha's servant upon a man by the name of Jehu, who became a king in northern Israel and stood against the spirit of Jezebel and destroyed Baal worship out of northern Israel. This is that anointing that we see throughout Scripture. And remember, every time you see that anointing oil, don't just feel that oil, but smell that aroma of incense, a rich aroma, which was unique. In fact, the Lord said, do this like a perfumer does, but don't mix it like this for anything else. Only let the anointing oil smell like this. The Bible tells us that we actually carry upon us an anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Paul went so far as to say that the Spirit of Christ that is upon us is an aroma. It is aroma of life to those who are coming alive in Him, and it is the aroma of death to those who prefer their death and their sin and their rebellion. Wow. We find that throughout the Scripture. Now, why this incense? Why was this incense brought to this Jesus, the Christ of God, the Son of Man, this child of about 2 years and 2 months? Because, first of all, it's noble. We talked last week that gold is the noble metal. But what about this incense? Oh, this wasn't just any kind of incense. This wasn't just cheap. How many of you have been around that idea of cheap perfume? Huh? How many of you ever wore cheap perfume? I will tell you this, whether it's cheap perfume or cheap cologne, you can't wear it for very long. One of the ways you can tell it's cheap is it doesn't last long. You put it on, an hour later, can't smell it any longer. But generally speaking, the more you spend for the perfume, the longer it lasts. Now, there's another aspect of cheap perfume, and that is it smells cheap. It is noxious to the nose, where you smell it and you go, oh, woo. And so when an author somewhere describes somebody as wearing cheap cologne or cheap perfume, it means, boy, it smells kind of like a perfume, but it just kind of is offending. At the one hand, it's a little bit pleasing, but on the other hand, there's a whole lot more offense there than there is pleasantness. But I've got great news for you. This noble incense is the sweetest and best smelling aroma one can ever smell. It's the noble of the incense. Thanksgiving is the best kind of incense to offer to the Lord. What we're getting into is we're talking about priesthood, but it's also talking about the primary function of the priest. If he was making sacrifices of blood, it was to cover sin. But if he was lifting up sacrifices of incense, it was a sweet smelling savor before the Lord. Yes, the meat smelled good. And how many of you like the smell of a grilled steak? Wow. Wonderful. But when we're talking about incense, we're talking about a whole different class of aromas. Because when you smell an onion on a grill outside of Lowe's, It signals there might be a bratwurst out there waiting for me. When you smell an onion and butter just simmering over there, it's enough to come in by the cash register, tap you on the shoulder and say, you're not very hungry, but now you are. Right? So when you smell food, what does it affect? It affects that stomach. Lord, help us not to smell any food smells in here this morning, at least for the next few minutes. We used to smell popcorn and come in and invade our worship times, because, and that would immediately kind of signal to people, oh, popcorn's hot. It's not time for the movie to start. It's time for church to be over so I can get out there and get some hot, fresh, buttered popcorn. It speaks to the stomach. But when you smell perfume, when you move into the idea of incense, it speaks of something higher. It actually speaks to us about love. It speaks to us about relationship. It speaks to us about heaven. It speaks to us about our relationship with the Lord. And throughout the world, incense is burned in connection with some form of worship, ritual, or prayer. Not a mistake. Not a mistake. Now, I want you to consider that it's an aroma of presence. It's an aroma of being prepared and ready to seek the Lord. In the context of Exodus through Revelation, it is the context of the priest's ministry of representing the people before the Lord. And he represents them in a couple ways, and I've got great news for you. We're living under the new covenant, which means we're all invited into the priesthood of Jesus, and every believer gets to stand personally before the presence of the Father in the name of Jesus, inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Give the Lord a hand clap. That's great news. So get that image of that priesthood. It's not an exclusive priesthood. He is the penultimate priest. He's the beginning of the priesthood. And they bow to him and they offer this frankincense, this most noble of incenses. And the first smell of that, the first offering of that needs to come up this. Thanksgiving is the best kind of prayer to offer. Do you want to know what the best kind of prayer to pray in any situation? He says, give thanks in each situation, not for each situation, but we give thanks in every situation because this is the will of God concerning you. We come into his presence with thanksgiving and then into his courts with praise. And so that we would establish this idea that as the priests of the Most High God, that they offer this very noble thing, and the very most noble thing you can do, the first noble activity you can participate as a priest before the Lord, is to offer a prayer of thanksgiving. To give thanks to him. By doing so, we're acknowledging from whom all blessings flow. We're acknowledging the fount and source of every blessing. We are coming into his presence and we lift an incense before him that says, thank you. They're offering thanksgiving to God. They're recognizing God's gift. This is the very gift of God. This one who is a child standing beside his mother, looking from beside her hip. And the folds of her robes is looking at them, and they're recognizing this is the gift of heaven. This is the gift of God. And we want to say, thank you. Now, what happens when people say thank you to you? What does it do in your heart when you receive a thank you card? What happens when a child says, thank you so much for thinking about me and getting this? Some of you are saying, that's rare. Yes, isn't it interesting that it's a very noble incense? It's very rare to hear the words, thank you. It's very rare on earth to experience the atmosphere of gratitude. It's very rare, but these men understand it, and they bring this rare incense, and they say thank you. Let me challenge you as the priests of the Most High God in this room today, that you will come into his presence like never before, with the first lighting of that incense being, thank you. I come in, I want to challenge you to that, and I have discovered something as I have explored this for several years in my private prayer time. And that is that the Holy Spirit will take you back into your past, and He will show you things that you missed before and you weren't able to thank Him. He doesn't do it in a braggadocious way, but He will nudge you and begin to reveal to you, hey, I was there. I spared you there. I kept that. My hand was there. That was actually me. Aren't you glad that didn't develop the way you wanted it to develop? We've even heard a country song that says, thank God for unanswered prayers. I don't know how many times I've offered prayers like incense before the Lord and found later the ability to thank Him in His presence because that which I wanted, that which I had asked to consume upon myself was not answered. And my thanksgiving became apparent as I walked around even in this room saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for knowing better than me. Thank you, Lord, for answering in a way that I never expected. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you look out for me. Thank you, Lord. And as you do that, I would challenge you to do that and find it move from 30 seconds to a minute to 5 to 10 to 15 and find yourself being lost in His presence. What are you doing? You're offering incense. You're setting the atmosphere with thanksgiving. Number two. Something interesting about this finest of incense and something which makes it valuable is that it's desert-born. B-O-R-N. This is where it begins. It begins not in the paradise. It doesn't begin in the finest floral areas of the gardens. It is rare because you have to take a dangerous journey into the fringes of the desert, in the most inhospitable places, and when you get there, you behold something that is quite remarkable. You cast your eyes upon a boswellia, also called an olibanum tree, and you find that here is this remarkable tree that grows in arid and dry places of the Arabian Peninsula. This is one of the most inhospitable areas on God's earth. I would say God's green earth, but in this case, God's horribly brown earth. Fire burned in desolate places. And we find it on the northern coast of Somaliland. What does it speak of? It speaks of praise. It's in those places that you find something remarkable. It's in these desolate places you see rocks, and you can feel the dryness of the air, and you know that the quantity of rainfall every year is measured in mere inches. And yet you see this grove of trees clinging to the rocks, growing out of the crevices. And you find that on them is a resin that has oozed out and has hardened. And it's there, not on the branches, but there upon the paper-thin bark of that tree clings the fruit. It's a fruit that comes out that really isn't the fruit of the tree. It's the wounding of the tree, which allows the resin to come to the surface and harden. How many of you ever had maple syrup? That is the fruit of the maple tree. They tap it, and then as the sugars are pulling back down in the fall, they intercept that and then pull it out, and then they can extract it. And from that, we get maple syrup for our pancakes and waffles. Hallelujah. But that is not the primary fruit of the tree. It's a maple tree, and there's nothing desirable of that except to cut it down, build a log cabin, or make some furniture or something like that. But all of that comes from its death, from its wounding comes the sweetness of the maple syrup. And from this tree and its wounding comes the powerful resin that oozes out through its paper-thin bark and hardens under the heat and dryness of the desert and creates these crystals that are incense. They're going to be scraped off and used. And what we understand is that in that desert, in that desolation, and in that place of lack, that is where we discover the praises of God. It is in our crisis. It is in our difficulty. It is in our place of saying, the bank account is dry. The cupboards are barren. Things aren't working as we had hoped. The plans haven't come together. And it's in that situation, it's in a jail, that Paul and Silas praise the Lord at midnight. It's there that they discover the praises of God, and they begin to declare the abilities of God over and against every bit of lack in every situation that they have. It's in the desert that we cry out to the God who provides for us. It's in the desert where we cry out to the God who can bring food for us, the one who can bring plenty to us. Yes, in the midst of the desert, praise is a powerful form of prayer because it declares God's grace in the face of lack. There was a song by the Imperials sung by Russ Taff. We praise the Lord. It's in the middle of the difficulty and the desperation. That's when we praise the Lord, because we are declaring the truth of who God is and what He does over and against our circumstances. We don't fail to confess our circumstances. We don't trick ourselves psychologically into saying, this isn't a desert, this isn't a desert, this isn't a desert. We stand in the desert and we call it what it is, a dry and barren land where there is no life and no water and no sustenance. But even in the midst of the dry and barren land, I know He who has created the heavens and the earth, and He is able to make provision for me even in the midst of this dry and desert place. Hallelujah. You're discovering the power of praise. Try doing that when you're ill. Try doing that when you're broke. Try doing that. That's when we discover praise. That's when we move into this priestly function. And this is when we exude this incense from our life. Thirdly, it's an intimate. We need to discover intimacy in our priestly ministry. And prayer is the chief function of our priestly ministry as we speak before the Lord. I like that word intimate. Some of you get nervous about that. All the men that look up and see the sign intimate apparel go, oh. That's why there's so many chairs situated in that store just south or north or east or west of that forbidden territory. There's a place where the man can plop down and wait until she emerges once again from the jungles. We even call them unmentionables. That which shall not be mentioned, right over there. But this intimacy, all of us get nervous, especially men get nervous about this, but this is about closeness. This is about getting close. He is called a friend that's closer than a brother. Someone who wants to be with us. Imagine that the God who creates stars and planets and fashioned you wants to be intimate with you. He wants to be close with you. He wants to be in fellowship. These trees, how do that resin ooze out? They are lashed on their bark on purpose. Those that care for the trees go around and lash the bark. They take a strap or something or a stick, and that paper-thin bark gives way to a wound or to a bruise very easily. They're lashed on their bark, and the resin that oozes out hardens and then is scraped off. And it's used to burn for that rich aroma. What in the world does that have to do with us? The 12 loaves of showbread within the holy place was sprinkled with frankincense and speaks of intimate fellowship and bread covenant. I talked to you last week about this, and it bears repeating because it's biblical and it connects right into this. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, He said, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. What is a centerpiece of supping and communion together in the New Testament, in Israel, with the life of Jesus? You had to find bread there, and you had to find a cup of blessing. We did it just earlier. We took of the elements of the communion, the bread and the cup. And this bread speaks of a covenant. Those that break bread together never lift their hand against each other. Do not lift their voices against each other. Can you imagine that at Vision Church? that because we take a bread covenant together every Sunday, what we're saying is, I'm going to pray for you, I'm going to commit to you, and I'm going to guard your name as if it was my very own. I'm going to guard your life as if it was my very own. If somebody lifts their hand against you, they're lifting it against me. If somebody lifts their hand and voice against me, they're lifting it against you. And we see this bread bringing us together in unity. Is it no wonder that Jesus would bless this bread and said, take and eat it. This is my body. It's this idea of covenant. And we find that there were 12 loaves of bread inside the holy place that spoke of each of the tribes, except for the tribe of Levi, because they were standing before the Lord. And they were standing there as representatives of the remainder of the tribes. And upon that showbread was sprinkled this incense. Why? Because the presence of the Lord is in our fellowship with Him. It is a bread covenant. Worship is a form of prayer that only gets deeper, more intimate, and more honest through adversity. Worship is understanding and connecting with the deepening nature of God. Praise declares His activity on your behalf, but worship is about who He is. It's about getting to know Him. It's about intimacy and connection and relationship. Right there in the holy place is bread sprinkled with incense. And right here, there are men that are wise that are bowing down and celebrating and commemorating this incredible relationship that God was introducing everyone on the planet to. Now think about that. I feel like some of this is kind of going over our head. Let me bring it down. Let me tell you it again. That He has opened up the door that whosoever will may come. That anyone, regardless of where they are on the planet or who's their mommy and daddy, anyone can come into relationship with the Creator of everything that exists. What intimacy! Religion has a hard time with intimacy. Let three people be intimate and tell us about it. But that's not how the Bible reads, my friend. He says, come unto me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I, personally, I, me, myself, will give you rest. He's opened up the door. He said, I must go away so that the Spirit can come. And what's He going to do? He's going to reveal everything of me and give it to you. Is it no wonder then that worship ushers us into the very deeper presence of God? We experience in worship that sense that God is here and He makes Himself available by the presence of His Holy Spirit. Now, one of the keys to worship is this. This doesn't sound like a very happy thought, but it's necessary. The fellowship of His sufferings. Do you know that He invites us? Jesus invites us into the fellowship of His sufferings. To feel like He does for people. And to carry burdens for people like He does. If you're truly going to be a priest of the Most High God. If you're truly going to function in the Melchizedek priesthood. If you're really going to have a life that's going to offer incense before Him. This is part of it. That's what we were doing on Saturday. We were walking and getting a sense and a feel for the heart of God for our neighborhood. For the people who are lost, for people who are struggling and people who are suffering, people who are crying out at night to the God who may be there as far as they're concerned, and we know Him. And we can make Him known, but we need to connect deeply in worship to His love and His heart for those that are suffering and dying without Him, as well as those who are in His body and are silently suffering. And they need somebody who will intercede. Intercession comes out of a deep sense of the fellowship of His sufferings and worship. And then fourthly, as I conclude, something about incense is that it ascends up in smoke. You light it, and what does it do? Always goes up. Now, if you get some temperature inversion situations in your home, it might come back down like a damper on a chimney. But in almost every other circumstance, it will ascend. It goes up. Incense is burned on earth and ascends into the heavens. Now get this picture as a priest. We stand upon the earth and we make request of heaven. We're making that connection not upon the earth, but our Father who is in heaven. Jesus taught us, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. What was Jesus doing? He was offering incense. It was ascending to the Father. Our requests are made of a heavenly Father that has everything we need. Now here's what happens when we come into His presence with thanksgiving. Come into His courts with praise. As we recognize and we feel and get deeper into worship and connect with His heart, we pray less for ourselves and things that are silly. And we pray more for others and things which are eternal. It purifies and clarifies and puts on target our incense of prayer so that it looks actually more like laser beams. It's a stream of light which goes from our heart to the throne of heaven, completely agrees with the Word of God, and is reflected back and returned in milliseconds to the release of angelic presence, to the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to the embarkation of somebody who is called by God to a task, and we find that what we are standing on the earth and calling upon God for is happening because we know we're praying according to the will of the Father. And by His Holy Spirit and in the power of His name, Jesus said, you have this assurance. You'll be heard. It will be answered. It will be done. How many of you like that word? Amen. Amen. The Lord give you, lift up a thanks, a praise, a hand of praise. I'll get it right. Some of you are confused what I was asking for right there. He has everything that we need, and He has everything that a lost and dying world needs. He has everything our neighbors need and our neighborhood needs. We function in priests, as priests, in intercession. Get that picture settled in your heart that when I go and make intercession for others, I'm lifting up incense. I'm burning incense. I'm not looking for myself. I'm not looking for my own selfish desires. I'm not wasting it upon my carnal heart, as James would point out. But I'm praying a pure prayer of the most pure and precious incense that the fire of God can touch and it can ascend to the heavens. It can be captured by angels. It can be viewed by the Father in heaven and understood and completely grasped and can be turned around into powerful displays of grace upon the earth. So what can I, how can I offer incense to this Jesus, the Christ? It may be on your knees, but it's certainly from your heart. And it is you lifting your spirit before Him in clarity and in truth and worshiping Him. But before you do that, thanking Him. Declaring His praise. Indulging in worship and intimacy. And then interceding. Calling upon the treasures of heaven for the sake of the people that you value upon the earth. What a powerful role of priests that we're all called to, and that every one of us can come and bring to Him the finest incense found on earth. It comes out of the dry and desert places. Somebody has been whipped and beaten by the circumstances of life and for their testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. But what has it formed in them? Not hard calluses, but a resin which comes to the surface and can be taken off and used and burned before the Lord as the most precious incense ever smelt. Something at which the Lord says, oh, that's wonderful. That's not cheap perfume. That's not a cheap gift from the $5 clearance table. That's precious. That's valuable. That has resulted from wounds and hurts and misunderstandings. And they've not turned their callous heart towards people, but they have turned their face towards me, and they continue to say, thank you, Lord. I come into your presence with thanksgiving. I come into your courts with praise. I come and I worship you, and I draw near to you, and I come to know you like never before. And I stand upon the earth, and I call upon you for grace and for goodness on behalf of these people that are around me. I stand in my role as priest. So as I say that, I want to invite you to stand and shoulder your role and your gift as priest. And I want to pray over you as you stand here this morning, and pray over you at home where you might be standing or may still be reclining, and that's fine. But make a stand for him and realize, hey, I'm called to be a priest of the Most High God. So, Lord, I stand before these and those that are home, and I cry out to you and call out to you, Lord, for a revelation that would come to the Spirit, to the mind of people. They would see with clarity what you have called us to. You have called us all that are born again to become priests of the Most High God. Those wise men offered gifts of gold and frankincense. They recognized you were the great high priest, the Melchizedek of God. And we can come and recognize you as the great high priest and subscribe ourselves to you to function into that calling as a high priest of the Most High God, to function in priesthood, where we come into your presence with thanksgiving, into your courts with praise, where we come and we pursue you for great intimacy in the secret places of the Most High. And we call upon you for great grace on behalf of those around us, our neighborhood, our friends, our relatives. And we call upon you for the good things of heaven to come and touch their life. None of us deserve it, but you have provided it for us, that we would be a people who not only pray for them, but we would be a people like a priest, a teaching priest, who would speak to them of the goodness and the grace of God. Lord, we ask for your anointing to fall fresh upon us. Let that anointing oil be bathed with that fine incense, and let us carry upon our lives an incense aroma. It's not cheap, it's precious. It's from another world, it's not from this one. It's from out in the deserts and out of adversity, but it's something that is so valuable that something in the heart of every person who gives a, smells a whiff of that, it lets it touch their nose, their spirit, that it will enter into them and they say, I've just got to have that. What a great gift you offer us and offer to them, Lord. And we ask that you'd empower us by your Spirit to make such an offering acceptable to you, holy and pleasing to you, Lord. And we ask this during this season especially, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. May the grace and the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be upon you as you go throughout your week, conveying the aroma of Christ. The Lord be with you.